Good morning. It is so good to be here together with you today, and I'm so thankful to see each and every one of you. Thankful for the songs that we have sang together this morning, especially that first one. We're marching to Zion. That song is such a powerful song, a reminder. As we go through this life, we are marching. We're you know, for me, that's physical labor. That's physical exertion. That's not what I really live for each and every day, is that idea of marching or working hard towards something. But we're doing that with a reason. We're marching towards something special in our lives. We're marching toward that home with God. And that is just such a wonderful way to start our service off this morning, to remind ourselves what we're here for, where we're headed to, and our desire to be there together with God in eternity. This morning's sermon's going to be different from what I normally like to do. As you probably been able to figure out with the time that we've been together, I like to find a scripture, I like to find a passage, and we're going to dig into that, and we're going to work through that, and kind of draw out of that passage the meanings that it has for us in our lives. That's normally what I like to do, but this week has been anything but normal. Anything but normal for me. It is not what I expected to have happen for me this week, and so this Sunday is not what I expected. I expected to jump back into Mark chapter 1. That was my hope for this month, is to spend more time in Mark. And so next week, Lord willing, Lord, please let us get into Mark chapter 1, because I don't want another week like last week. Let me tell you a little bit about what happened to us this past week. So the gospel meeting started off, and then we were so excited for this. It was going so good. And Monday night after I got home, after speaking, I could tell, I was like, I'm just tired. I'm wore out. My throat feels a little scratchy from speaking so long, and I'm ready to go to bed. And I woke up next morning, and I had my family's sore throat. They'd given it to me. So I was pleased with them. And that very quickly went away, but by Wednesday, I had full-blown sinus congestion, and I was sick. Yay. I was getting better, though. And so I was like, it'll be all right. Then Thursday morning, my mother-in-law comes down, and she brings us two cats. Well, that's a positive, negative. You decide on that. But I was like, the boys have been wanting these kittens for a while. Now we have these two kittens at our house. And so they've gone to get some supplies for the kittens, and I get a phone call. And they say, Mr. Blevins, were you in Florida last night getting gas? No, I wasn't. Well, you need to deactivate. We're going to deactivate your card. Your card has been compromised. Well, okay, that's no fun, but no money lost. They stopped all the charges. That'll be all right. Get back with the stuff of the cats. Find out cats have fleas. It's like, all right, let's get these fleas cleaned off of them. So, in my infinite wisdom, I said they're just kittens. They'll be all right. We'll put them in this big tub, big 33-gallon tub, and we'll wash them in that. We don't have to bring them in the house. And I grossly underestimated the ability of a kitten to jump much higher than I thought, run much faster than I desired. And now, instead of two kittens, we have one. So the week is just not going very good for us. But Easton's got a ball game coming up, and I'm ready for that. And so I said, I'm going to go take a shower. I'm going to get ready. And at the end of my very nice, relaxing shower, boys come busting in saying, Dad, sewer's overflowing. What they meant by that was everything that should be going into the septic tank was not coming out in the yard, it was coming out in the basement. Through toilets and the basement shower and a floor drain, our house was covered. And the smell was awful. And I look at all of this and I just think to myself, what a week. Are you kidding me? What do you do? What do you do when life just goes off the rails, goes so far away from what you've planned and everything is falling off the tracks? What do you do? My question that I was asking myself at the end of this week, what do you do when life stinks? That's what I wanted to know. What are you supposed to do? What do I do with all of this? There were a few things that came to my mind. And these are some things that helped me to try and keep my spirits refreshed during just a particularly stinky week. And I wanted to share them with you, things that have helped me. So let's take a look at some of these things that are good to remember. Five things. This will be a very short lesson. And I'm so thankful for the elders here. I called them and said, I am not prepared for Sunday. Can you all help me out? Who do I need to talk to? And so very fortunate to have Mike Estes from Danville coming this afternoon to speak. And I know that you'll be greatly encouraged by his lesson, I'm sure. So I'm gonna spend some time, very very small amount of time this morning, just going over some of these things that helped me this week. Five things to remember. Number one is this idea of walking circumspectly. Now, that's a word that we don't use a whole lot, and it comes from Ephesians chapter 5. You want to turn over there with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 is a verse that very quickly comes to my mind when things start to go downhill, when things are not going the way that I have them, that I believe they should go, when they aren't going my way. This is a verse that comes to mind quickly. Beginning there in verse 15, it says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." That's from the New American Standard. But if you read this from the New King James Version, it says there, "See then that you walk circumspectly." This idea of walking circumspectly, again, a word that we don't use very often, but one that I just have grown to love and appreciate so much. That word comes, as we break it down, we consider its structure. We see the first word in that is the word circum, as in circumnavigate, circumference. It means around, or to measure around something. And so when you circumnavigate an island, you move all the way around that island. You check all of its shores. You see what's going on. Where's a good place maybe to land our boat? And the other word in that is in circumspect is to inspect or spect. It gives us the idea of inspecting something. And so the nature of this word, walking circumspectly, is to look at our problems from every angle. To not just focus on the one part that we can see. Maybe we need to move around a little bit and get another angle and get another perspective from what the problem that we're dealing with. I'm going to tell you right now, that idea of walking circumspectly really helped me, because I was having a hard time seeing anything other than just a terrible, terrible week. And from my current perspective, on Thursday, from my perspective there, this was a terrible week. And I was afraid to say it can't get much worse, because I just knew it would as soon as I said that. But let me tell you about Thursday night. Let me tell you specifically about 11:30 p.m. Thursday night. You know, Mickey made a really good comment that I heartily agree with. We don't have friends at midnight. Somebody come to your house at midnight asking for things, it's hard to think about them as a friend, but I have friends at midnight. I have friends that at 11:30 p.m. are at my house with lights and shovels and drills and trying to find out how to fix this problem. People that sacrifice time to come out and to help us. People that wanted to make sure that this problem could be resolved, hopefully without spending a lot of money. Thankfully, it was. People who not just sacrificed their time, but they sacrificed time away from family. They sacrificed hard and sweaty and nasty work. And friends who had their hands into our business more than any friend should ever be asked to do. Just really, really good people. And I know that it's my opinion. As I look at all the things that have been done for us, I look at the people that made phone calls for us, I look at the people that said, "Get in touch with that guy, get it. This guy right here has, you know, he can help. I'll get somebody over here that can do this." People that I know that were praying and thinking about us during all this. As I think about all that, I know it's my opinion, but I state it as fact. I think the best people in the world live in Somerset or Monticello or, you know, Science Hill. Right down here, the best people in the world are the people that we're surrounded by. But as I was able to walk around this problem and see that, I was able to see it from a new angle. And you know what? Even from that new angle, the problem, it was still there. And it still stuck. But I was blessed to see God working through this just terrible problem. Blessed to see God shining in the life of all these men and women who had become molded by Him and were bearing the fruit of Him. And from that, I was extremely thankful. That helped me to lift up my spirits during this difficult time. And so we have to walk circumspectly. We need to walk around our problem. We need to examine them from other angles. We also need to trust in the process as well. We need to trust in the process. So when we're going through difficult times, we need to remember that just because we're going through these difficulties, that doesn't necessarily mean everything is just falling off the tracks. Sometimes there's something more going on in the background. And we need to look at this and remember that God can use this situation. God can do something with this situation. He can even produce something in this situation in you. In Job chapter 23 and verse 10, Job says this, but he says, he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, when we were moving down here, I know the elders and probably several of you have heard some of these stories, but when we were moving down here, we put our house on the market, and we put it on the market at the advice of our realtor for about $20,000 more than what we thought it was worth. And within 24 hours, it was sold. I want it. And not only am I going to give you what you're asking for, I'm going to give you more than what you're asking for. Wow. Beyond our imagination to think that would happen. Within a week from that, we found out we had water damage. Found out that we had an infestation in one of our crawl spaces of all sorts of little critters that we didn't have any idea were in there. And we found out that our buyer, looking at all this, said, no, I don't think I want the house anymore, backed out. And we just remember looking at all that and thinking, how terrible. I mean, the news that when they called us, and we'd already found a house down here, we're moving in the process of trying to get that done, and we found out our buyer walked. I just remember it was like the wind was sucked out of us. It just like a hit to the gut. Like, wow. Why is this happening? But I remember thinking later and talking with some of you all later about this as well. I said it was terrible, the feeling that we felt. But what I thought would be even more terrible, exponentially worse than going through that problem, going through that circumstance, is going through that circumstance and not having it produce anything. Going through it and not learning anything from it. Going through it and not finding a way that I can use that to help somebody else maybe when they're going through this very same situation where things are tough for them. Going through it and not letting it produce something in us. We experience unfortunate events in our life. It's helpful for us to remember that our obstacles that come into our life are nothing more than opportunities for the light of God to shine through and to show His faithfulness, His power, His might, and His love. Our suffering is a supreme channel for that to come through and to be evident in our lives. And it doesn't always come how we want. We don't always get to experience that and go, you know, okay, I've asked for help and the help's going to come in this form at this time. It doesn't always come how we want or when we want. But what I've learned, and as we talked about in class this morning, God never fails. He goes abundantly beyond what any mortal man would deem to be the best. God is able to do abundantly more than that. You know, I used to wear this leather band around my wrist. And I say that because that sounds far more macho than I used to wear a bracelet. And on that bracelet was this passage, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow tired. They will walk and not grow weary. Something that I learned from that passage is that it's important for us not only just to trust in the process, that God can do something through this. God can build me up. God can shine His light. God can reach other people through this circumstance in my life. But not only can God do these things, He will. And so let's just trust in Him and let's wait on Him. excuse me. Whenever God does show His power, whenever He shows His might and His love, we're going to find that the process was worth it. We're going to find that the wait was worth it. We're going to find that the difficulties that we went through, while not pleasant, were worth it. Trusting in His control means that we're trusting that He can use this for some good, whether it be good in our lives or good in the lives of others. And so we need to ask ourselves, if we're going to wait on God, if we're going to trust in Him, we need to stop and ask ourselves, what can I gain from this? Lesson-wise, what can I learn from this? How can I use this to draw closer to God, to build my faith, to rely more upon Him? And how can I, as we talked about in our meeting, how can I give Him glory through this experience? How can I give the glory back to God? And what I've found so many times is when things are just ripped out of our hands, we get to the circumstances, we realize this isn't really in my control anymore. This is the best time to stop clawing and digging and trying to regain that control over our life and say, I know God is in control. I know that He can provide through this. I'll be patient. I'll allow Him to lead. Now, that does not mean that we do nothing. That does not mean that we just trust that God can use this and I'm just going to sit back on the hill and see what God will come will make come of all this. That's not what that means. In fact, when we think of that passage again, wait on the Lord, he says that we will run and not grow tired. This week we worked hard. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I've been talking with Holly about that. I shouldn't say we worked hard. They worked hard. Members of this congregation worked hard. I spent most of the time standing around watching, going, you know, what can I do? How can I help? But they worked hard this week to get our problem taken care of. During this time, I prayed. During this time, I thank God for friends, and I thank God for the help that has been given us. And I ask God to continue to provide it. I ask God to make a blessing through this, and he did. But again, the blessing wasn't really what I wanted. I really wanted him to say, wow, there's just the boys flushed a balloon down the toilet or something, and that's what caused all your problems, and it's an easy fix. It required a little more effort than that. But nonetheless, God fixed it. God found a way to bring a blessing through this problem. He found a way to bring encouragement in our lives through very discouraging times. And not only was our problem fixed, our life was enriched. Our life was blessed by the love of God's people. And so that's what we do. We wait on God. And we know God can do something with us. And in that time, we work. We press on in the situation. And we know, I don't know how it's going to end. I don't know what will become of it. But I know that in the time that I'm enduring it, I will do my best. I will work my hardest. And I will just trust in God that he can make something greater of this. And so again, let's get to 11:30 p.m. Thursday night. 11:30 p.m. Thursday night comes the wonderful revelation that we have got friends here. We've got people who are standing around our house and in the dark, digging at our septic tank. But also come to realization that this problem's not getting fixed tonight. We found the problem, we found the issue is a collapsed sewer line, and we're not going to be able to fix that tonight. And so then I have the realization that I am just covered in it, and I don't have a shower. And so, once again, we have friends. I called Luke, who just left our house, and said, Luke, I'm coming to your house to take a shower. And I go, and I'm getting cleaned up. Excuse me. I go and I'm getting cleaned up. And I'm leaving their house, heading back home, finally clean, finally ready just to lay down and go to bed. And I remember thinking, the only thing I want right now, what I really desire, is to just be here. I'm ready for Sunday. I'm ready for all of this to be in the past. And I don't have a clue what I'm going to speak on. I don't know. If somebody says, Kyle, all right, come up and start talking, I don't have a clue what we're even going to talk about on Sunday morning. But I'm ready for it. And I'm going to start coughing now. Sorry. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to sing praises. I'm ready to praise our God that's led us in all this. I'm ready to have my heart lifted up by the fruit of your lips. I'm ready for your presence in my life and your encouragement. I'm ready for all of this. And I made this comment during the gospel meeting. The brilliance of God's glory shines bright in his people. It shines bright as we gather together to worship him. It shines brighter than the problems that typically creep up in our day. It blinds us. It blinds me to the circumstances around me. And so I waited for this, and I longed for this, and I wanted for this because I knew Thursday night, Friday morning at that point, I knew, as bad as this day is, there's a future blessing. There's a future day coming that is better than what I have right now. Even if it's just 2 days away on Sunday. Even if it's just 2 days away, I know that there's something greater coming. Psalm 59, verse 16 was on my heart during that. It says, but as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. I was thinking of this verse. I was thinking of the opportunity to finally just say, yes, things have not went right this week. Let's set that aside. Let's remember the glory of God. Let's remember the might of God and the love of God and what he has done to lead us and to protect us. And really what I was doing is I was thinking to myself, let's count our blessings. Let's just don't let all of this filth that's creeping up around us cause us to be blind to the wonderful blessings that we have, especially those blessings in Christ. As I got back home, I remember, you know, our home's still standing, it's still here, and we have AC, and we have beds, and we have a place where we can sleep, and we have friends who let us come use their showers, and we have friends that open their homes to us, and we have all of these wonderful blessings each and every day. We have friends that will come work hard to help us get over the situation. But you know what? Great and abundant as those are, you take them all away. You strip us of all that. You strip us of the physical blessings we have in this life. What are we? The richest people on earth. Because we got Christ. Because we have the wonderful blessing of our Lord and Savior. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Jesus is the greatest blessing that God has provided us. He is our joy, and He is our peace. And yes, we go through a difficult life. Our world comes with hardships and trials and tribulations, and we suffer and we hurt. And sometimes life stinks. That's just what it is. Sometimes life stinks. We need to remember that. We need to remember that life stinks, but Christ has overcome this world. Jesus has overcome the hardships. He has overcome death. And the hope in this life, my hope, our hope, is not founded in this life. It is founded in Christ. Our joy is not founded in this life with difficulty. It is founded in Christ, and it is founded in His cross. And so at the end of the week, I ask myself, what do we need? What do I need to be joyful? What do I need to have peace? Do I need perfect health to be joyful? Do I need two kittens to be joyful? I can tell you that one's definitely no. Do I need a home that doesn't have sewage bubbling up in its basement to be joyful? Granted, all of those things are, there's something that we would desire. That's not what we need. What we need is Christ. What we need is to see and appreciate and reflect upon and cling to our Lord and the cross of our Lord, and understanding what it means to bear our cross and follow Him. Understanding the great blessing that comes through that, the great blessing that comes from our cross, learning what that means. Learning what that means in our lives, to pick up our cross and follow Him. That's where we begin to understand what true joy and what true peace is. And this morning, if we can help you with that, if we can help you to see that this life and all of its disappointments and all of its shortcomings, that's not what it's all about. That's not the totality of our joy and our peace. It is founded wholly in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to know more about that, if you'd like to study that with us, that'd be our greatest desire. That'd be our greatest pleasure. And so if we could help you to understand that better, won't you please come forward? We would discuss that and talk about that as we stand and as we sing.